The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
How are you, sir?
This is Pierre.
Oh.
I can't believe I'm talking to you, Dr. Ray the Great.
Well, I don't know about that.
I love listening to you. You have a personality just like my father.
I don't think you should feel helpless. You are helpless.
Doctor, I really appreciate that. That makes me feel a lot better.
You be at peace, or else I'm going to yell at you.
Trying to find a reason to speak to you. I think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
That Ray, he's something.
Thank you so much for what you're doing for all the parents out there.
I don't know what I can possibly do.
I don't either.
I'm getting my money worth, I think, at this phone call.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Got this question from a young mother. Dear Dr. Ray, I am pregnant. I know you are not an OBGYN. I know you're not a real doctor. But when will my baby move? Wrote her back. I said, with any luck, after he finishes college. Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. That's the kind of tidbit advice you're going to get on this program. If you call in, I reserve all my clinical practice for the office. But here we talk about your situations, your circumstances, and you got to know how much I appreciate your calls. Every call is different. Now, there are common themes, but none of them are exactly alike. There's always variables, even in the short period of time that we talk, 4 or 5, 6 minutes, they're different. Different aspects of each call. And the one nice thing about it is if you get several calls on the same theme over a period of time, you can see perhaps what the phenomenon is of those calls. And that's going to lead me directly into the opening monologue. But today's kind of a special day. Father Benedict Groeschel, who's definitely one of my heroes in the faith, he was born this day. In 1933, Jersey City, New Jersey. He passed away in 2014, which is 11 and a half, almost 12 years ago. The thing about Father Groeschel, Father Benedict, one time we were at a conference, and I noticed that there was a lot of traffic around my book table. But it wasn't actually at my book table. It was lined up past my book table. And I'm thinking, why are these people not turning and looking at my books here? And then I saw the reason. Father Groeschel was right next to me. And understandably, they were clamoring to talk to him. So I shut my book table down and just went over to him. And I said, hey, you're killing my sales. He laughed. That's the kind of guy he was. He wrote over 40 books. Hosted EWTN's Sunday Night Primetime for decades. He was an advisor to little-known Mother Teresa. The list of things that he did, what he established, where he taught. He was a psychologist, too, which is kind of neat because he sort of influenced me to interface. That's a psychology word. Psychology and religion. So Father Benedict, rest in peace. 877-573-7825. Your calls are very important to me. I want to tell you that. If you're nervous, because one of the biggest reasons people email me is they say, I don't want to call in because people would recognize my voice. Wait, look, I've got about one listener, maybe two, for every one of our radio affiliates. So the chances of somebody recognizing your voice are minuscule. It's like sinking a putt from here to Jupiter. Okay? Not going to happen. But we sure would love to have you give a buzz. Talk to Eric Dumont there. He's very pleasant. Very pleasant. Much more pleasant than I am. You get past Eric, then you hit the wall. 877-57-EQUAL. Kid question, marriage question, adult question, clinical question. I mean, obviously I can't do therapy or diagnose here, but I can educate, give you some ideas on what you're asking about, maybe give you a nudge in a certain direction, let you know that, I think your thoughts are pretty insightful there. And if you call in and give good stuff, I'll steal it. I'll take notes. I'll put it in a book. I'll make a lot of money, and I'll, well, I won't thank you, but know that I appreciate it. 877-57-EQUAL. Okay. My producer man, Andrew Kruchek, sent me this. This is something that I noticed maybe 10, 15 years ago, thereabouts. Now, this is foolish because I'm trying to download it on my phone. I'm sitting here in the studio, and we're surrounded by all kinds of equipment and stuff. And I noticed that little blue bar, you know, on your phone that goes across and tells you that it's downloading. It just stopped dead in its tracks. Andrew, it's not going anywhere. I wanted to cite this article. You know what? I may have to get up from this microphone and walk outside. Maybe I'll do that on a break. It's inching. No, it's not even inching its way forward. It's millimetering its way forward. But anyway, I'll badinage enough here that giving it time, hopefully, to download. 10, 15 years ago, I started noticing that a factor in the estrangement, the severing of generational ties, mostly from the direction of the younger generation, had a therapy component. There were often people who either talked to me here on the radio program or clients that I've seen who said, yeah, my daughter, my son, mostly my daughter. Most of the time it's the daughter. And for other reasons for that, it's not a sexist statement. Yeah, she's gone to therapy and she's decided we're just not good for her mental health. You know, what's going on? What's going on here? One of the things that happens a lot is when there's a cultural phenomenon, for example, social media. You know, social media came out. What a wonderful thing it was. Smartphones, too, for kids. This is just great. They can keep in contact. They'll form all kinds of great connections. They'll learn to socialize. And the exact opposite happened. And it takes a while for the general mindset of the culture to catch up to what's actually happening. And this whole idea of estrangement is finally starting to be recognized in the secular media. I've seen a number of commentaries and articles on this. I think the first time I saw one was PragerU. He opened up the topic on his radio show and was flooded with people who said, yes, I've been written out of my children's and grandchildren's lives, or just written out of my children's lives. And these aren't 21-year-olds. These are 38-year-olds that are doing this. Okay, so the title of this article, one-third of parents with estranged children blame therapy as society becomes obsessed with trauma. Yeah, we've so broadened the view of trauma, which used to be something pretty serious, you know, something that threatened to overwhelm you emotionally, psychologically. Well, now it's anything that I didn't like, you know. Ooh. All right, so let me see what they see here. About a third of parents with estranged adult children claimed the breakdown in their family's relationship stemmed from advice their kids got from a therapist. Now, this is a phrase I'm not quite sure I understand. As experts warn of a toxic rise in victimhood culture. Okay, well, wait a minute. You have other experts saying we shouldn't be doing this? Because if they're saying that about a third of the kids who shut them out went to therapy and were pushed by their therapist, or at least considered the idea because of their therapist, other experts are saying we're really getting carried away with everybody being victims around here. A survey of 7,000 estranged parents found 1 in 3 believed that their child's therapist. Now, okay, let me stop there. I'm going to comment on this. I made an observation in an earlier monologue that it is more likely for a young adult, or not even young adult. Now we're getting into 30s, 40s, 50-year-olds. More likely for them to cut off a parent when they themselves are running their lives poorly. Now, that said, they're going to a therapist, indicating they're not happy or content or satisfied with the way they're running their lives. So they went to a therapist. So you can assume, I mean, they're not going there for self-growth in most cases. They're going there because things aren't going well. And so they want to go get help. William Daugherty, Daugherty, a therapist and professor emeritus of family social science at the University of Minnesota, blamed the concerning trend on society's hyperfixation with trauma. Here he said this, and boy, do I agree with him. We are in a culture where we emphasize fragility. Yes, yes, I can't handle it. Everything becomes trauma. And the solution is to split and leave. But it should be the tragic exception that you cut off a parent or loved one, not business as usual. Growing tensions. This other guy, this family sociologist, Carl Pillemer, growing generational tensions over politics and social issues, and I would throw in religious issues. Boy, this is a kind of a long article. I'm going to deal with it a little bit later because I'm past break, and I know Andrew's telling me my monologues are going on too long. What's he know? He's only the producer. So let me give you the number again, 877-573-7825. Dr. Ray.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, teach me to pray. The free Ignatian Prayer Series will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
This Ave Maria program brought to you in part by the following nonprofit.
One of the greatest threats to your family isn't a disaster or a virus, but addiction. In nearly every family and every pew, someone is silently struggling. Beginning July 11th, Shalom World TV and the iThirst Initiative present Unshackled, a powerful new series on the Catholic Church's response to the addiction crisis, bringing together leading voices to discuss real healing. Stream it free at shalomworld.org or on the Shalom World app today.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
The devil will always do his best to tempt you into sin until you get to that place where you love sin. That's what he wants. He wants you down there with him. And not because he loves you, he hates you. When you do what the enemy tempts you to do, he does it out of pure hatred.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarindi here. You want to pass the Catholic faith on to your children? A very good way is to teach your children at home. You want to protect your kids from the toxic culture that surrounds us? Do you want to have a greater influence than what your kids are learning? Once more, a great way is to teach your children at home. No teacher is going to care about your kids as much as you do. Seton Home Study School is the best way to teach your children at home. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org. Speaking 2 to 400 words per minute, with Gus up to 800. Dr. Rigorandi here. Quick announcement, I will be teaching a 7-week parenting course sponsored by the Dallas affiliate, Guadalupe Radio Network. I had an email just yesterday that said, I want to join, but is this virtual or live? No, it's virtual. So you're anywhere in the country. anywhere in the universe. You want to do it? 7 weeks. I mean, I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty of discipline. I'm going to put you back in charge in your house. I'm going to give you the strength to stand up against relatives and friends and the whole culture who thinks your traditional moral way of wanting to raise your 1 in 100 kid who seeks God is nuts. Absolutely. It's the kind of depth I haven't gone into for a long time. In a course, anyway. I've done it in the books, but not in a course. And we'll talk about all the standard discipline problems that parents run into. So if you go to grnonline.com/... Ooh, sounds rough. /academy. You'll see just my face there. Yeah, it's my first communion picture. I like using an older picture. And tell you how to do it. All right. And now we only have room for 50 people. That's it. We're cutting it off at 50. So, hopefully, still lots of spots left. Now, one of the byproducts of that severing from families, especially if it goes on a long time, what do you do? What do you think about the inheritance? I mean, the kid has basically not talked to you for 12 years. Now, you're not looking to die anywhere in the near future. But what if this continues? It's gone on for 12. No sign of reconciliation on that young adult or whoever adult's part. What do you do? Well, Winnie says, Dr. Ray, I heard you say something. And I don't think I could do that. Hi, Winnie.
Hi, Dr. Ray. I've heard you talk about this before, and I think we have this, you know, our daughter cut us off, but it's only been 2 years. And so we're hoping still that, you know, we could get reconciled at some point. But you did say something about if it was you, you would cut off, you know, and maybe give it to a charity or something instead of the child that has left you for such a long time without any contact. So I just wondered what was the philosophy that you had to cut them off?
Well, if the child says to me, I want no part of you, get out of my life. Winnie, if you have that now for 2 years, and if your daughter has said, Mom, leave me alone, but by the way, could you send me $1,000 check? Would you send the check?
No.
Oh, well, then how is that any different from you leaving her a bunch of money?
Well, I guess you're right. It's true.
See, here's the thing. I think you'd feel terrible and guilty, and I think you would think, what are people going to say when she finds out that her brother's got something and she didn't get anything? What are they going to say? Well, one, you don't have to worry about that because you're dead. All right, you're either in heaven or someplace else, and either place you're going to worry about it.
My husband might be alive.
Well, that's right. This isn't going to happen until both of you pass on.
Right.
In the short term, he gets everything. But you could talk to your attorney, and I don't know how legally possible this is, but I would think so. You put a clause in there that says as long as she continues to estrange us or be estranged from us, then there will be nothing left to her in the will or in the whatever it is you put it in, a trust fund. That said, if there's some mechanism where you can say, okay, I'll contact you if she ever connects with us. Or if I pass first, my husband will contact you if she ever connects with us. I would not tell her at all that she's out of the will, because that's too much temptation. Okay, well, look, my mom and dad, I'm standing on losing $300,000 here. You know, they own the farm, and all that's pretty good money. I'll tell you what, I better at least treat him civil for a while. I can probably hold my nose and be nice to mom. You wouldn't want that, would you?
Well, no, but, you know, she won't even talk to us, so... no big deal, I guess.
There would be no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my mind, Winnie, if one of my kids cut me off and was not willing to even talk reconciliation, not willing to even say, Dad, here's what you did. So I can at least know what I did, and I can apologize, or I can say, I acted in your best interest, and if you're upset about that, I don't know what to say. Some way that they would allow me to say, okay, let's work this out. But if they're unwilling to do that, if they're just saying, no matter what you do, Dad, get out of my life. I this is a no-brainer for me, Winnie. There is no way I'm going to leave you anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you hate my guts for it, what do I lose? You already hate my guts anyway because you won't talk to me. What am I losing?
Well, that's true.
You know, and if you say, well, she doesn't hate our guts. Well, effectively she does. Effectively she says, I want no part of you.
Mm-hmm.
So she may not have the emotion of hate, but the action of hate is there.
Yes, yeah.
So that's my thinking
on
that.
I was just thinking, like, the other three, they would get maybe something if anything's left after we, you know, have whatever, you know, we have to do. But I was thinking the other three would maybe get something, and she would not get anything.
I personally would have no... I got 10 kids. If any one of them would write me off, then the other nine would get something. They're not going to get all of it. Most of it's gone to charity. But they'll get something. But the one that didn't, she wrote me off. And you know what? I think they know that. So maybe that's a buffer for them not writing me off. Here I'm thinking they love me. It just may be they don't want to lose some money.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't would like that, no. Yes. Well,
right.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Winnie,
I think now
you know what? If you're worried that you thought you were going to divide it up into fourths, and now you're only going to do three of the four, I'm there for you. You want me to be that fourth. Okay. You know, I'll help out. That's just the kind of guy I am. You know? Charitable.
Well, I think this relieves my mind. Thank you so much.
Well, wait a minute. So what you're saying is you've written me out too. That's what I thought. All right, sweetheart.
So we'll put something into Ave Maria Radio.
There, now, see, that's what they were pushing on me to do. See, they were writing me here. They're texting me saying, see if she can leave us something. See if she can leave us something. See if she can leave us the daughter share. No, they didn't. They didn't do that. All right. Thanks, Winnie.
Well, okay. Thank you so much.
All right, honey. Bye. I got three very good calls up there waiting. I don't want to get to you, but I've only got about a minute, so I can't really do a whole lot about that. I'll do my standard beating of the dead horse, or at least the laying down. I wouldn't beat a live horse. We're going to go down and do the TV show in Ann Arbor, The Quest, in Atlanta. Great station. August 18th, 19th, Holy Spirit Catholic Church. Two shows on the 18th, two shows on the 19th in the evening, 5:30, 7:15, 5:30, 7:15. You want to be in the audience. The audience is, of course, on EWTN because it's Living Right with Dr. Ray. 16th or 17th season? I think it's 16th. And we'd love to have you. The audience makes the show. It's that straightforward. I mean, I've done it a couple times without an audience, and I'm going to tell you, it ain't anywhere near the show. So you guys are as important on this show as I am, perhaps more so. There's more of you. You can come to 1, 2, 3, 4. You can bring the kids. So if you don't have a babysitter, don't worry about it. You can bring the kids. And if your kid throws a fit, we have a psychologist right there in the setting. So don't worry about that. Go to thequestatlanta.com to sign up.
What is one of the most challenging doctrines of the Catholic Church to comprehend? It is the mystery of the real presence of Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the Eucharist. The Catholic Catechism tells us that Christ is present to His Church in many ways, but most especially in the Eucharistic species, and that His presence in these species of bread and wine is unique. The whole Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is truly, really, substantially contained therein. In other words, under sacramental signs, He is physically as well as spiritually present. St. John Chrysostom declares that man does not cause this miraculous occurrence. A man, the priest, acting in the role of Christ, does pronounce the words, but it is Christ Himself whose power and grace brings about the transformation of the bread and wine into His body and blood. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The Heart of the Interior Life with Elizabeth Jingle.
St. Ignatius of Loyola wrote in the first rule of his teaching on the discernment of spirits, "In persons going from mortal sin to mortal sin, the enemy is ordinarily accustomed to propose apparent pleasures to them, leading them to imagine sensual delights and pleasures in order to hold them more and more and make them grow in their vices and sins." Father Timothy Gallagher writes, "If this working in the imagination is the ordinary tactic of the enemy in all ages, it would seem true to say the stakes are higher in a culture of the image, as is ours today. How does the enemy of human nature act when we are moving away from God? For persons moving away from God, the enemy works in the imagination to keep a person engaged with sin, moving from mortal sin to mortal sin. The enemy's empty promises are always a lie. When believed and acted upon, they always leave the soul weakened and farther from God."
For more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.
Brian, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I was going to go to you next. I really wanted to hear what your wife had to say about this. Call back if you can. My wife is a psychologist, Brian says. And she gave me some insight on the parental estrangement thing that helped my relationship with my dad. Brian, is that because she sees this in her therapy sessions, or she just has a sense of these kinds of interpersonal relationships? And I wanted to know how she helped you. I wanted to know what she had to say so I could steal it. Now, Brian, I don't know if you're listening because you might have got to where you're going and you got out of the car. So all this has been a total, total waste. Anonymous calling from Michigan about his son moving in with his girlfriend. Hello there, sir.
Hello, Dr. Ray. How are you?
Okay. How old's your son?
He is, will be 24 next month.
Up to this point, he hadn't lived with any girl?
No. But I know that, you know, his girlfriend had spent the night, but she'd been living with her parents, and so then a couple weeks ago, he called, my wife answered, and he just basically said, yeah, that's, he goes, I hope we can set our differences aside, but this is what I'm going to do.
He sees no moral problem with it whatsoever.
You know, I think he sees the moral problem, but he kind of says it's between him and God. I've seen him go up to, I mean, he's been raised, you know, in a Catholic family. We've, you know, practice every, I mean, pretty devout, actually. I mean, not even pretty, we are devout. And so I've seen him go up to communion, a couple years ago, and cross his arms. So I know that he knows that he wasn't, in right way to receive, but I know he knows the difference, but he just said that, he goes, this is what I'm going to do. And, he goes, I hope we can set our differences aside. Now he has two other roommates. One of them moved out, but then the third roommate, he's basically never there. So, and I, I know it's his decision and her decision of what they're doing, but, you know, I'm as a dad, I'm trying to, you know, figure out the reason why, but it doesn't really matter why. He's still doing it overall. But, you know, I think his girlfriend, who's 24, you know, she's been living at home, not Catholic, not even really religious Protestant, but just, you know, she wants to move out. And so I think my son, you know, is maybe it's a rescue thing, but I think, you know, it's also he just really he really wants to be independent. He keeps asserting his independence, and he is pretty much independent with the exception of, you know, us paying for, you know, he's got a full-time job, but with the exception of us paying for, you know, his college classes. And, I mean, there's no way I can use that as leverage. I mean,
why not?
You know,
why not?
My wife would hands down.
And you'll just drive our son away.
Oh, exactly. And we've afforded our other son, you know, paying college for him, and he lives at home. But it's just, it's not leverage.
It's too bad.
And plus, the thing is, too, I don't want him thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to do this just because dad's not going to pay.
No, it's not punishment. It's not punishment. You're basically saying, I don't want to be involved in what you're doing, son. You said a couple of things here, Dad, and I'm going to put them aside. I'm not going to address them because, well, I don't want to get sidetracked. But you said two things.
Okay.
Your son said, this is between me and God. Okay, now that's an interesting way to put it, and that deserves comment. But I don't have time for that because I'm going to give you what you asked for. Second thing. You said, Dad, we have to put aside our differences. Well, now, these ain't differences. This is his difference with God. It's not, he's got his opinion, and I have my opinion. No, your opinion is based upon revelation of the God of the universe. But I'll get into that in a future look back, so you're going to have to listen every Friday from now until the next 2 months. Okay, that's it. You asked in your question, what do you do? How do I keep up a cordial, pleasant relationship with him and his girlfriend?
Yeah, he came, little interjection. He came over last night to do some things real quickly, and I didn't want to pull the love withdrawal method, but I know that I wasn't my normal, you know, jovial self, and I know he can just feel the disdain, and it just put me in a rotten mood for the rest of the night. And my wife asked, she said, oh, well, you know, can you go talk to somebody? I mean, this can't continue to ruin your peace.
Well, your wife is terrified that your son's going to get to the point where he just distances himself from you. That's what she's terrified of, it would seem.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, here's a couple of things.
Okay.
Tell your son next time you're kind of in a cordial moment, say, son, I'm just curious. Putting our differences aside, son, I'm curious. What was it for you that you thought moving in with your girlfriend was your best move? You're just going to deal with it practically. What was it? Was it finances? Was it she wanted that? What was it? What was the motivation here? That's all. And you're not going to challenge it. You're not going to question it. You're not going to debate him. You're just going to just nod your head. It's the first thing. Then the second thing you're going to say, Sonny, do you think you could marry her? Yes, I think that's a possibility. Well, you do know now. Now, this is not a matter of differences aside, son. You do know that if you live with somebody, it dramatically raises the chances of divorce if you get married.
Oh, that's
I
not...
Okay.
Well, I've given him the literature.
He doesn't buy it. We're different. Yeah, he doesn't buy it. Okay. Well, you've done your job. Now, here's what I would suggest. You deal with your son exactly as if he were not living with his girlfriend. Treat him exactly the same way. Same friendliness, same love and affection, and even his girlfriend. You treat her fine. So if they come over for dinner, her attitude is, oh, they really like me. They're nice people. Now, if your son interprets that as, see, Dad approves, he's finally come around. We don't have our differences aside anymore. He's misinterpreting it, and he probably knows that. But you're going to treat them very warmly, very kindly, even though he was raised by you and he knows this is not a good thing in God's eyes. Okay? And right now, whatever it is that's moving him. But I'm going to leave you with this, sir. Prior to his moving in with her, is there no doubt in your mind that he was having relationships with her anyway?
Yeah, because Yep.
Okay, so given that, the the moral problem was already going on. So when you treated him nice before he moved in with her, you were basically saying, well, you can have relations with her, just don't move in with her. Something to consider.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Saint Jose Maria Escriva says that we are called to light up the pathways of this earth by being sowers of peace and joy. This comes from being aware that we are sons and daughters of God. On the road of life, though, we find dangers, but God walks with us every step of our life, pouring out the gifts of His Holy Spirit upon us. Our Lady is our companion, like GPS in our car, connected to the cloud and bringing the latest updates to help us navigate our journey and get out of traffic on the way to the eternal kingdom. We don't want to get into family fights on our way to God's vacation destination, but we should be these sowers of peace and joy. We shouldn't accept substitutes, accept only the authentic identity of being His children, His sons and daughters. Let's grow in happiness and bring peace to those around us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that His Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes Him at His word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Okay, I gotta congratulate KFUZ FM 103.3, serving Clarkston, Washington. 11 years on the air. John Fazari, a paisan. And all the folks there at Clarkston Catholic Radio. Congratulations, guys. 11 years. You make it work. Let's see what Christina has. Christina's calling from Connecticut. Hi, Christina.
Oh, hi. How are you? It's good to talk to you. I've been listening to you. Oh God, I think for years.
You're thinking of my dad, Christina. You're thinking of my dad.
No, I have no idea how old you are, but I think we're maybe similar age. I don't know. but you're on my lunch break always, so I get to hear really great things.
No problem with your digestive system.
Sometimes.
Oh, okay. Oh, Andrew, put that for a bumper. Sometimes.
Oh boy. So we're in a pickle, but we've been in a pickle for a long time.
Nobody calls me when they're not in a pickle. Nobody calls me and says, "You know, I'm not in a pickle. I just thought I'd call and say, hello, how you doing? Things are going good for me."
Yeah, right.
I got more pickles.
Right.
What's going on?
Well, I have a son who, he's 35 days sober. Oh, hooray. Today's a good day. He's sober today.
How old is he? How old is he, dear?
He's 31.
Okay.
31. He was 11 years clean from a very heavy, scary thing from heroin.
That's pretty good.
And remained clean from that. Remained clean from that, but got succumbed to another evil drug that is now out there and taking over.
What was it that was going on in his life that he turned to that?
Well, exactly. I think the problem is that he always smoked pot, even when he was sober from everything else. He was very, very high functioning, but never, as the experts tell me, never was sober. And it worked until it didn't work, you know? Anyway, so now I'm getting scared kind of by all these labels. And when you started this, you know, you talked about like trauma being out there. Trauma is something that for real our whole family is dealing with. And I do think I don't think it's just casually thrown around. Like, he's lucky to be alive. My boy has escaped death 2 times. The angels were all around him. He's here for a reason. He should have died twice in terrible car accidents. Terrible. Survived with nothing wrong with him, by the way. Like, airlifted and nothing wrong with his body. He somehow had protection all around him both times.
Okay.
But
so
anyway,
how is narcissism? Because you had a question there for Eric. Narcissism.
Let me get to it.
Yeah, how's that enter in?
So now what's happening is I am hearing, you know, that he's narcissistic, you know, this is narcissism, the behavioral, the relationship issues that we're having with him. You know, his delusional thinking, his I'm always right, it's your fault, it's, you know, not taking ownership. He hasn't gone down the 12 steps far enough to be taking any kind of amends and all this. Anyway, so I started researching, which I shouldn't have, narcissism, and it scared the life out of me. And my question is, if that is true, is this something that can be fixed? And most substance abuse people have that label thrown at them. And I guess my ultimate question is, A, is this something that can be fixed? B, is this something that is a temporary personality thing? However, this is, forms of this behavior have been going on, I would say, for 11 years when he went through his first rehab. And
okay, so you put a label on it. So what? You already know what your son is like. He's been doing this for 11 years. That would scare me more than that little label you put on it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a label on it, it makes it sound like the label is the cause. Well, he does those things because he suffers from narcissism. No, he does those things, and then we label it narcissism.
Right.
There's the difference. So you have no worry by the label itself. That's the first thing. The bigger worry is the fact that for 11 years, you say he's 31, so since he was 20, he's been doing all kinds of dumb stuff, and he doesn't learn from it.
Yes, and we've enabled it. So, I mean, I
also
have...
Well, I think that is very interesting.
Yes, I'm the emotional enabler, and my husband's the financial enabler.
Oh!
And we've broken it. We've broken it now.
But then you ain't got to worry about narcissism. You got to worry about feeding into all this.
Right.
My dear. Yeah, don't just can the narcissism thing, because first of all, I don't know who gave him the diagnosis. I'm not going to argue with their diagnosis. Yes, there is something as narcissistic.
No one's giving that diagnosis yet, but they're just, you know, this is just thrown out there, this narcissistic behavior, you know, because there's all kinds of, you know,
I will tell you a more serious diagnosis than narcissism. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Messed up life choices.
messed up life choices and entitlement, but we caused that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So you got a young man here that's doing this kind of stuff, and you really, you hope that he pulls out of it. He's still young. You hope that he pulls out of a lot of this stuff. I wouldn't clutter it
31.
Up.
31.
Yeah, he's still kind of young. I mean, there's people who listen to this show. They'll call in and they'll be 62 years old and they'll say, I've been sober for 17 years. I'll do the math. And they were 45 when they finally got sober.
Mm-hmm.
So all that said, the complication for you, it seems, is going to be when you cut him off. And, of course, you don't know how he's going to react. He's so used to you feeding him financially and looking for all kinds of ways to kind of get him to straighten up. You keep trying to get him to straighten up. And he won't.
Yeah.
And he looks at you like, I'm not doing anything wrong. Leave me alone. I'm not responsible for that.
Right.
Well, that's why I lost the job, because the boss was a jerk. That's why I did it. It wasn't me. It wasn't the fact that I didn't show up for 6 days in a row. My boss knew I had car trouble. Whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know that that's his style. Now, whatever you call it, it's just a label on it, because you're from a distance now. You're going to have to deal with it in the sense that you love him, you associate with him, you ask him how life is going. If it were me, I would not give him any advice. He would have
right.
to ask
right.
me.
Right, that's what they're teaching us. Yeah, no, we have to stay completely out of it now and just ask the professionals. You know, ask the people you're with. You know, I can't fix. We can't fix this.
No, because
obviously.
It's gone on too long. So life's going to have to fix it, and he's going to have to cooperate mm-hmm. with life and say, I don't like the way I'm living. I don't like the repercussions of my decisions. This is ugly. This is bad. My parents were right, my mom especially, in all the years she nagged me and I didn't listen. But he's not going to come to that conclusion until he decides, whew, the way I'm doing it stinks. So.
And if he cuts us off in the meantime, that's
well, he
what
could.
It has to be. Which
he could,
perfect.
Yeah, because
he's
you're cutting him off.
Trying.
Yeah, because you're cutting him
trying.
Off.
Yeah.
In his mind, you are doing something that is sinful, family sin. You know, I
oh,
need
absolutely.
Help.
He says
I
that
need
I cut
help.
Him off from our love. Yeah.
There you go.
It's
yeah,
how could you cut me out of your
uh-huh.
love?
Oh, yeah. You're not. I tell him, I say, you're not out of my love, son. You're just out of my money and my advice.
Yeah.
You can't be bullied, Christina.
Yeah.
He's bullied you for a long time.
Oh, yeah. He's very good at it. Yep.
Mm. All righty, hon. Don't worry about the narcissism thing. Okay, that... You go look at it, you read narcissism, and it sounds like these people are so pathologically irredeemable that your mom will just give
it's
it up.
Scary. It's scary. Yeah. Yeah.
No.
It did sound sort of like yucky, evil. It was like, no, that's not my son. That's
well,
just...
that can sound that way, because narcissism
but
is it's an extreme style. Okay, it's an extreme personality group of traits. That's why it sounds so bad. But it doesn't mean that people can't, if they wish and if they had some good therapy or if they just had some life lessons, that they can't start to pull out of that. I mean, if you can't pull out of it, you just tell God, well, he can't do anything about it because I'm a narcissist. Holy Spirit can't work on me because I'm a narcissist. The Holy Spirit will say, I'd like to help you, but too bad, you're a narcissist. All right, honey, I got to run. Thank you for the call. This is Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Life is hard and we have to struggle against so much, including the ongoing struggle against our own sinfulness. And sometimes we just want to say, no more, I'm done. But God isn't done with you. I'm Dr. Marcus Peter, and in my book, Not Finished Yet, I can show you how God has already begun a wondrous work in you, in each of us, and only needs your cooperation. Find Not Finished Yet and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
I got to thank my friends over there in Ann Arbor, Eric DeMont and Andrew Krucek. We banter about, have a good time on the breaks. They pick on me, I pick on them. Good time. They're good guys. Let's see what else. Okay, we had a caller, and she didn't stay. This is so typical. Women call me and hang up all the time. I can't. It's 82% of the girls who called me in college hung up. And it was usually right when I said, hi, this is Ray. Click. Okay, so that said, she hung up. But she wants to know the name of the parenting program I'm doing through Guadalupe Radio, the Dallas affiliate. It's called Raising Upright Kids in an Upside-Down World. It is taken from the title of one of my books. It's a 7-week course, and I'm going to get into it. I really am. I mean, you know, here on the radio, what do we talk, 5 minutes? Even if you come to therapy, and we spend 3 sessions together. It's only 3 sessions. And with you doing most of the talking, by the way, makes it easy on me. So I'm getting into it. I'm getting into the discipline problems. I'm getting into self-confidence. I'm getting into your authority. I'm getting into your resolve. I'm getting into the moral issues you wrestle with. I'm getting into standing strong against the culture that thinks you're nuts. All of that. Doing all of that. And it's virtual, so you can be anywhere in the country. Be anywhere in the world. You could be anywhere in the galaxy, solar system. Go to GRN. That's easy enough to remember. It's the letters for Guadalupe Radio Network. GRNonline.com/, or if you're really ill at ease with that kind of violent talk, / Academy. Just punch right on my face. Ooh, that hurts. And then it gives you the details, how to sign up, 7 weeks. And we are definitely going to get into it. And I think you'll come away, if you're a good parent, I think you'll come away feeling even stronger in your parenting, more confident in your parenting. If you're shaky, you're saying, oh, man, this kid's driving me nuts. What do I do about this? And there's like 9 problems here. And I don't even know how to get into them. If I call Dr. Ray on a radio show, I can talk about half of one of the problems. That's right. So it'll approach both of those kinds of parents, right? And I guess to summarize it, it would be, I'll help you raise a 1 in 100 kid. That's what you want. Everybody who comes to my office, if I ask them, you want to raise a culturally average kid or do you want to raise a 1 in 100 kid? They all say 1 in 100. That's their goal. Now, the question is, are they willing to do what they need to do to raise a kid like that? Especially knowing there's no guarantees necessarily. All right, let me just address this question. Henry called earlier. His grandson is distancing himself from the family. I don't know the details of that. I don't know why he's distancing himself. I don't know what his family life is like. Henry says he joined the military and has had very little contact with anybody except. Henry says, I have the opportunity to join him for a road trip. How to talk to him? Well, the first thing, Henry, I would say is apparently you're not strongly on the list of people he wants to avoid. He thinks his grandpa's a decent enough guy. How to talk to him? I suggest that you find out why he thinks the way he does about his family, about why he joined the military, about how he sees religion. You're going on a psyche exploration. You want to get to know him. I know the temptation is, and I know people like this, to do this with their grown kids. They go on these 47-minute lectures. Forget it. And you lost them back at 13 seconds. So that's what I would suggest there, Henry. I wish you could have stayed on the line. I got to go. I thank you so very much for joining me. Tomorrow, Look Back Friday. Thanks, Andrew Krucek, producer man. Eric DeMont calls Screamer. Walk with God as I get older. I realize, man, that is the only walk that is going to last forever. All the other walks, long gone.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook and Instagram. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.